Some of you are probably thinking, wait a second, I thought we were in Acts 11 now, preacher, and well, we got to go back to go forward. So Acts chapter 4, verse 36, the Word of God says, "And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is interpreted the son of consolation." One more time. "And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation." The challenge today is to be a Barnabas. Father, I pray that your word would go forth and with clarity and simplicity this morning. I pray for the soul who may not be saved, let them come to be saved. And for the soul that is discouraged or maybe downtrodden today, that they would be encouraged by your word. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Be a Barnabas. I'm going to try to be really practical with the message today and a little bit different than I typically would do. We're going to be a little all over the place in the book of Acts, and that's okay. To be a Barnabas. You know, there are times in life where people will encourage you, and then there are times in life where people discourage you. And maybe right now you're thinking back this week that somebody either encouraged you or discouraged you. And I know that in my life personally, I kind of didn't really share this, kind of forgot about it for a little bit. And I was reminded as I was studying through this and thinking about encouragement that, you know, a few weeks ago I was kind of discouraged. And I didn't share this again, but on going back to our friend day that we had here at the church, fried chicken dinner, we had a record attendance for that day, a lot of visitors, and after the service we're all eating food. There was so much good food on that day, and thank you for everybody who brought food, and it was great. And I was talking with someone, really probably just ministering to the people, praying for someone or sharing the gospel or something like that, and unbeknownst to me, while that's going on, And not many people heard about this, but there were actually some vandals who came to the church that day, and they targeted specifically, of all the vehicles who were here, they targeted my car, okay? You know, it totally surprised me and caught me off guard. To this day, I don't believe that the culprits have been caught yet. So I wanted to just kind of show you and, you know, kind of beware, you know what I mean? As you come to church, you need to kind of watch your back a little bit. And Blake and Jacob, if we could put that first photo up there to kind of show you the damage that was done. So this is my vehicle, and my son is not caught in a spider web there. They saran wrapped my car. I've never had that happen to me in my life before. And some people might take it as flattery. I was just kind of discouraged by it. And again, we haven't really caught the culprits yet. We did get a few blurry videos. Beware, these may be a little disturbing. If we could go to that next one. Here is one of the persons fleeing the scene. Her ponytail in the air. Not the best running form, as you can clearly see. In her hand, you may not be able to see this because of the quality of the photo, but is actually the weapon used, the saran wrap itself, which was later discarded into, littered, I should say, into the nearby woods. We're trying to get forensics off that now to determine who that was. And then there's one more photo, again, as they were confronted. These two, again, in complete shame because of the crime that they have committed here. Just, again, they seem like probably pleasant ladies, but in their hearts, clearly we see. And so if you know these two individuals, please report them to the local authorities. I know we have some gentlemen in here today who are law enforcement, even Eric Holbrook. You might be able to help me out with this a little bit. Put up some posters or something like that as well. So that was a little discouraging, but it's not all discouragement. Last week I shared about my epic shark story, how I caught a shark for the first time in my life, and I was celebrating that and sharing that with you all. This Wednesday, when I came to the church, in my office, on my desk, somebody, and I shared last week, I'd never caught a shark before in my life, and so I just caught one when we were on vacation, actually made a shark trophy for me. It's a bobblehead as well. It says on there, Master, they made a plaque, Master Shark Slayer Award 2022. Pastor Nathan Woodworth, congrats, you did it. All right? So, and I might leave, no, I better not leave that up there. You'll be watching that the whole time. But so there are people who try to discourage you a little bit in life, but then there are others who encourage you. And my challenge for you today is to be the latter and to be a Barnabas. Of course, I'm just teasing a little bit today, but to be a Barnabas. Barnabas means encouragement. And this morning, I want to encourage you to be an encourager, to be a Barnabas. I want to give you a little challenge. I know a lot of you take notes during the message. If you have a pen or something like that, here's what I want to challenge you to do. Throughout the message, I want you to write down three names that the Lord lays on your heart. You can even use your phone to do it. Just don't be texting or on Facebook or something like that. Jot down three names of people that you will go out of your way this week to be an encouragement to. Don't write them all down right this second, okay? Because I want the Lord to speak to you through His Word and try to think about those people as I'm going through this. Now, as we've come all the way to chapter 11 in our series through the book of Acts, there has been one character who has popped up on a few occasions that we haven't really spent time on. And that character is Barnabas. The first time that we met him was back in Acts chapter 4 when the church was exploding with growth. The second time is shortly after the conversion of Saul in Acts chapter 9. And now in Acts 11, he's mentioned three times in just Acts chapter 11. From Acts 11, which is where we're at in our series, for the next five chapters, the focus is on two people, Paul and Barnabas and their ministry. So before we go any further, we probably ought to learn a little bit more about who this Barnabas guy really is. And I want to encourage you again, be a Barnabas, to be an encourager. Why? First, number one, the need is great. The need is great. There is a great need for the ministry of encouragement. Maybe you came today and you were like, preacher, that's me. I'm hoping to get some encouragement today. If you are discouraged, I would just admonish you, take heart. You're not alone. Did you know that Adoniram Judson, the famous missionary to Burma, at one point was so depressed that he dug a grave and sat beside it for days? Now, I don't know how discouraged you are. Maybe you got a shovel. You're ready to go and ready to dig that hole. But you're not alone. There are plenty of others who are also facing discouragement. How many of you recently have spoken to someone that has been discouraged? Anybody? Maybe the rest of you are the people that have been spoken to. And I hope that if that is you, you would be encouraged today. Many in the church are discouraged, depressed, and even lonely. I just read an article about pastors from Barna Research that said 38% of pastors consider leaving the pulpit. 38%. But it's not just those in full-time ministry, but rather all of the church. Across the church, I should say, there is discouragement. Now, it's not all like that. There are plenty of believers who are very encouraged right now at what the Lord is doing. Even in our own congregation, as I mentioned earlier, we're taking 39 teenagers for a week out of the world where they're going to hear preaching and teaching of God's word and the gospel night and day for 5 days straight. That's something to be encouraged about. Amen?
Amen.
So there are plenty of encouraging things, but many in the church in general are discouraged. I mean, have you ever met someone who's suffering from too much encouragement? I'm just too encouraged today. Pastor Nate, I can't take it. I can't take any more encouragement. No, there's a need. Barnabas met that need. Barnabas appears in name more than anyone else in the book of Acts beside Paul or Peter. Would you say he's pretty important in the book of Acts? Absolutely. So before we go any further, let's get to know him a little bit more. We need to start with the fact that Barnabas isn't even his real name. In Acts 4, verse 36, we're told his real name. It says, and Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed or nicknamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation. His name was Joseph. Now, Joseph is not a bad name. It means exalted. However, because of his personality and what he was known for, the apostles in the early church thought, we have a better name. Your mama got this one wrong. We're going to call you Barney or Barnabas, meaning son of consolation. Now, that word consolation is not a word we probably use every day, but it simply means to encourage. I mean, imagine encouraging people so much that they looked at you and said, you know what? We're not going to call you by your name anymore. We're going to call you encouragement from now on. That'd be like being making people laugh so much that they said, hey, your name's funny. We're just going to call you funny. Can you imagine if we called everybody by their most distinguishable characteristic? What would they call you? Would anybody call you a Barnabas? Would they call you an encourager? Because that's what they nickname him, Barnabas. Now, we've all met a Barnabas in our lives. How many of you have a Barnabas, an encourager in your life? Anybody? Amen. We all have those people who provide encouragement, or I should say we've all had those people. Maybe right now you think, I don't have that person to encourage me, Pastor Nathan. I think in my own life, men and even women who have mentored me as a young man, and even my pastor, Pastor Ryan Bevan, Pastor Josh Bevan, others who have encouraged me in my ministry and in my walk with Christ. We've also met what I would like to call anti-Barnabas, haven't we? Someone who's a discourager. Every time you walk away from them, you leave worse than when you came. Adrian Rogers said, the discourager is the type of person who's there to give a glass of water to a drowning man. The discourager is someone who lights up a room when they leave it. Now, don't be that person, okay? We've met those people. But I ask you, does anybody think about you as a Barnabas? A son or daughter of consolation? That word, consolation, from Acts 4:36, comes from the Greek word paraklesis, which means to come alongside someone. Think about that for a second. They called Barnabas the one who comes alongside others. It means to encourage, to exhort, to admonish, to bring comfort. The name Barnabas literally means son of rest. As Barnabas brought rest to the spirit of everyone around him. Do you know someone like that? We need more Christians like that. Everybody wants to be known as an encourager. But not everyone wants to do what it takes to have a ministry of encouragement, because an encouragement ministry is hard, because you're dealing with often discouraged people. So it may be difficult ministry. But do you have a Barnabas in your life? If you do, then you know how important it is. The next question is, would you be a Barnabas to anyone else? If we asked everyone, do you have a Barnabas in your life? Would anybody think about you? Anyone? Maybe you think, preacher, you're not being very encouraging this morning. Church, the need is great. There's a great need for encouragement. Secondly, the command is clear. The command is clear. In Romans 12, the Apostle Paul writes that there are those in the body of Christ who have been given by the Spirit of God the gift of paraklesis, or encouragement. Now, maybe you're like, well, preacher, okay, hang on a second, because I knew this message wasn't for me because I don't have that gift. the Holy Spirit, eeny, meeny, miny, skipped me on that one. I didn't get it. I don't have the gift of encouragement. And I would say, well, hang on, not so fast. If you don't have the gift of encouragement, that doesn't mean you're exempt from encouraging others, right? Somebody comes to you, brother, sister, you know, I'm so discouraged. Can you help me? They're like, nope, ain't got it. You got to find somebody else. Here's a straw. Suck it up, buttercup, and get on your way. I don't have that gift. No, that's not what that means. It just means you have to work a little bit harder at it. Some are spiritually gifted and it seems to come natural to them. It just kind of, encouragement rolls off their tongue. They don't even realize they're doing it. Others were like, okay, be encouraging, be encouraging. You didn't stink that bad today, all right? It's like, well, thanks, I appreciate it. No, an encourager is something that we're all called to be. 1 Thessalonians 5:14, Paul writes, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men." We are called to comfort the feeble-minded. That means those who are faint-hearted, the discouraged. Did you know that God is the God of consolation? Scripture says in 2 Corinthians 1:3, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort." Comfort, encouragement comes from the Lord. Romans 15, verse 5, it says, "Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus." Paul writes, God is a God of consolation and you ought to be like-minded. Meaning that believers, we ought to have the mind of Christ and be those who console and comfort others. That's what God's like, and that's what He wants us to be like. Encouragers. We are commanded to comfort. But even beyond that, you are equipped, to encourage. Not only are you commanded to comfort, but you're equipped to encourage. You go, Pastor Nathan, I didn't go get any training, encouragement training, or I don't know how to counsel people. How am I equipped? I'll tell you how. In John 14, verse 16, Jesus, speaking to his disciples, says this, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." That word, comforter, parakletos, it's similar to the word used for Barnabas, paraklesis. So Jesus says that he would send the paraclete, the comforter, to us, and then we are commanded to then have a ministry of comforting others. When Christ was on the earth and he promised this to his disciples, he told them, "I'm going away. I'm leaving." Jesus would go to the cross to pay for our sins, to die in our place. He would be buried and resurrect the third day for us, to offer salvation to all. And then he ascended to heaven. But he told his disciples, "But wait, I will send another, and he will come and comfort you." And friend, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ this morning, then you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, the Holy Spirit of God, and he is the comforter. And now he is commanding you. You are equipped because you have him to comfort others. I mean, who better to encourage other people? If anyone, anywhere, is qualified and equipped for a ministry of encouragement in a desperately discouraging world, would you agree the world is discouraging? Is there much that you can look to in the world right now to find comfort or encouragement? And yet, who better? Who more qualified? Who could be more equipped than the Church of Jesus Christ? And if we aren't willing to encourage, then where will people go for encouragement? I'll tell you where they'll go. Straight to the world.
And the world will offer worldly encouragement. Isn't it interesting that the world has to constantly pump themselves full of false encouragement? You're enough. You're perfect just the way you are. Do what makes you happy. You deserve what makes you happy. It's empty, it's vain, it's deadly. There's no foundation to that encouragement. And then to make it worse, often people go to church and they hear the same junk. No wonder the church is so discouraged. We've been convinced that what we need is just some secular affirmation instead of exhortation from the inspired word of God. The world's encouragement says, hey, the power is in you. You can do this. Encouragement in the Lord says, no, you can't do this, but God will be with you. And there's a world of difference between those two things. We are called to encourage. The need is great and the command is clear. Third, the way is simple. How do we encourage and who do we encourage? This is where I hope you'll start writing down some of those names. It's not difficult to figure out how to encourage someone. It's actually quite simple. Let's go back to Barnabas and see who he encouraged and learn who we should encourage. Back in Acts 4, verse 32, the early church has just began. And it says in verse 32, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things which were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. Verse 36, here he is, and Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, verse 37, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. In the early church, people were coming from all over to Jerusalem during a holy feast. Jewish people, pilgrims, traveling to Jerusalem. When they got there, thousands of them heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they became followers of Jesus, and they were baptized. And then guess what? They didn't want to go home. They wanted to stay in Jerusalem because that's where the church was. And that went great for a while. Because just like every vacation that you take, you can stay on vacation until you run out of money, and then you got to go back home and work again, right? And all of these Jews have traveled to Jerusalem. They find Christ. They stay. And then after a while, some financial needs pop up. Many of them left their homes, their jobs to be with the church. So what happens? People in the church start meeting those needs. They weren't commanded to do this by the apostles, but out of love for one another, some of them who had excess began to sell what they had and then bring the money to the apostles. And they said, hey, whatever need, meet the need. And the one who is mentioned by name, there were many who did this, but the one who's mentioned by name is Barnabas. Barnabas sold a piece of land and he brought the money and he gave it all to the disciples and said, here, use it for whatever you need. So who can we encourage? The first person. Look to encourage someone in need. In need. First, you can encourage by helping someone in need. Find a needy person and encourage them. By the way, you're not going to have to look far. Now, how do we encourage someone in need? Meet the need. If they have a need, then meet it. As you're able to, whether it's a small need or a big need, find someone in need and at least help with the need. but meet the need. This is how Barnabas got his nickname to begin with, because he encouraged others by meeting the needs in their life. Maybe it's an expecting mom. We just had a newlywed couple, you know, Haley and Shelby just got married. Maybe it's a newlywed couple. Find someone, friend. All you're going to have to do is walk around with your eyes and ears open, and you will find someone in need very, very soon. There's needs all around us. I'm sure many of you are already thinking of someone in need. Barnabas helped those in need. He was an encourager. Now, secondly, let's go to Acts chapter 9, where we find Barnabas again. He pops up again. And guess what he's doing? Encouraging. In Acts 9, verse 22, this is right after Saul gets saved. But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. And after many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. But their laying in wait was known to Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. So Saul, on his way to Damascus, is transformed by the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. He's saved. He's born again on that road. And when he gets to Damascus, he meets a few Christians. Eventually, he starts preaching. Now, those who were his enemies became his friends, and those who were his friends are now his enemies. And people don't like that he's preaching the gospel of Jesus. So the Jews determined to kill him. And they actually set a trap. They were going to wait until he tried to leave the gate, and then they were going to kill Saul right then and there. But Saul hears word of this, and so those in Damascus, the Christians, smuggle him out of the city. It's kind of, I don't know why, it's just funny to me as I read this, but they lower him over the wall in a basket. I just imagine this grown man, you know, going down in this basket down the wall, and he gets out of Damascus. And then he runs to Jerusalem. And when he gets to Jerusalem, guess who he's looking for? The Christians in Jerusalem to take him in. He's a fugitive now, kind of on the run. So he gets back. He's probably knocking on their door. Hey, let me in. Who is it? Saul. Saul who? Saul of Tarsus. What do you want? Let me in. I'm a Christian now. Now, remember, when they saw Saul leave Jerusalem, he had papers in his hands to arrest those in Damascus and bring them bound to Jerusalem to throw them in prison. When he left Jerusalem, he was doing so to persecute Christians. When he left, it was right after he held the coats of the men who killed Stephen for preaching the gospel. That was the last thing they heard about Saul. Now, maybe word trickled back. Maybe somebody knew about it. Maybe they heard rumors that, hey, Saul actually, he's a follower of Jesus now. But when Saul gets back, they won't let him in. They won't receive him. It says they were afraid. And to be honest, rightfully so. Saul's like, yeah, I'm a Christian. And they're like, oh, okay, just a minute. Run! You know, they're like, let's get out of here. We don't believe this guy. So now, what's he going to do? He's on the run for his life. He flees from Damascus. No doubt people are looking for him to kill him. The Christians won't let him in. He's in despair. Verse 27 of Acts chapter 9. But, what is it?
Barnabas.
But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. I love that verse. But Barnabas. First, look for someone in need. Second, look for someone in despair. Someone who is discouraged. Can you think of someone in need? What about someone who's discouraged? Many of you raise your hand that you've talked to somebody this past week who is discouraged. We probably all know someone right now who is discouraged. So be the but Barnabas in their life. Remember, consolation means to come alongside. And what do we find Barnabas doing in Acts 9? He comes alongside a newly converted Saul, introducing him to a very hesitant church. Now, let me just say this. To be honest, there are some people who don't want to be encouraged. They want to be miserable, and they want you to be miserable as well. They don't want you to encourage them. They just want someone to kind of whine with them. Now look, the Bible says we're to weep with those who weep, rejoice with those who rejoice, but it never says we're to complain and grumble with those who complain and grumble. We're not simply called to just soak with somebody, but to try and lift them up. Now, sometimes we can do that by simply not saying anything at all, but just being there for someone. But let me just kind of say this. If you are discouraged, I hope that you will take heart in the Lord today and find your encouragement in Him and His Word. But can I also say that if you are discouraged and you are not doing the most essential things of the Christian life, for example, surrounding yourself with believers, spending time reading God's Word, and praying to the Lord daily, friend, if you're not doing those three things, no matter what I tell you, if you're not doing those essentials, no wonder you're discouraged. And then on top of that, pumping your mind with the junk of the world, is there any wonder why you're discouraged? And oftentimes, even Christians, we don't want that simple solution. I know, Pastor Nathan, but you got anything else for me? I know that there are all different kinds of scenarios and situations. I'm simply saying, if you're not doing the essentials of the Christian life, no wonder you find yourself discouraged. And I'm not saying you're discouraged because you don't have enough faith. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying if you put enough garbage in, then garbage is going to come out. And if you're not spending time talking with God every day, having Him talk to you through His Word, and then surrounding yourself with the people of God, friend, that's only going to lead to discouragement. So find your encouragement in Christ today. And if you're here and you're looking for somebody to encourage, then encourage someone in despair. Look, you can't always tell who that person is. Sometimes the person smiles more than anybody. But a lot of times we know, don't we? I mean, we know. That person just doesn't seem right. Something seems off. Maybe I ought to say something. Say something. Grab them and say, hey, you're going to coffee with me this week. Hey, let's go out for lunch after church today. Encourage someone in despair. Help someone in need. Befriend someone who is discouraged. Here's the third one. We go to Acts chapter 11. I got to move quick. In Acts 11, just a little background. You remember when Saul, when he was persecuting the church, and it was like he stepped on the anthill and all the Christians started scattering? Well, we read about how some went to Samaria and there was a revival that happened there. But there were others who scattered too. And some of them went all the way to Antioch. And they're preaching the gospel, Jews, non-Jewish people, and people are getting saved. Word comes back to Jerusalem like, hey, there's like a move of God going on in Antioch, but we're not really sure what's all happening. Are they really preaching the gospel? Is this like some weird, you know, what is it? We gotta get to the bottom of this. So Jerusalem, the church, decides, hey, we're going to send somebody to go and kind of figure out or give a report. Get the scoop on what's going on in Antioch. And in Acts 11, verse 22, it says this: "Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was at Jerusalem, and they sent forth," who is it?
Barnabas.
"That he should go as far as Antioch." Verse 23. "Who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all," encouraged them all, "that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord." Barnabas gets there. Everything's going great. And so what does he do? He encourages them to continue in the Lord. So first, find someone in need. Encourage them. Second, find someone in despair. Encourage them. Third, we see here, find someone in service and encourage them to continue on. You know, sometimes we think that only those people who are really discouraged are the ones who need encouragement. Not so. Oftentimes, it's those who are on fire for the Lord and are faithfully serving and are giving their all for Christ, often they're the ones who also need encouragement. You think, well, they're not discouraged. What do we need to encourage them about? To keep going. Amen. Continue on. When Barnabas got to Antioch, everything was going great. Does that mean that they didn't need encouragement? No, Barnabas admonishes them, hey, keep it up. Continue with the Lord. Sometimes those who are encouraged need somebody to come up and say, hey, I see what you're doing. Keep going. God sees what you're doing. Continue. Cleave to the Lord. Has God laid anyone on your heart yet? If not, let me kind of help you out. Who do I encourage? Every week, every Sunday when you come in, most of you at least get one of these bulletins. On the backhand side, we have something called Missionary of the Week. Below that is always an email, sometimes an email and a phone number, with a note that says, please take some time this week to send our missionaries a message of encouragement. You know, we support nearly 20 missionaries, some foreign, some local. Whether they're doing great or whether they're struggling, they need someone to come alongside them and say, hey, keep it up. God is with you. Your work is not in vain in the Lord. And to encourage them. A preacher friend of mine told me a story about a missionary who was on the field for 30 years, serving on the field for 30 years in a foreign country, faithfully serving Christ. He had since, he and his wife, come off the field, come back to the States, and were serving in a different position in a local church. But my preacher friend had a missions conference, and he invited this missionary to speak. At the conference, they did a little question and answer time on the stage. And one of the questions my pastor friend asked was, how can we as a church do a better job at encouraging missionaries on the field? And the missionary was kind of hesitant to answer. And then my pastor friend said, you know, it's okay, brother. Go ahead. I mean, share with us. We want to know. You know, we're all friends here. And then the missionary began to weep. He started to explain how that for 30 years, faithfully, they would send out a missionary letter, a report on how the ministry was going. Those saved, baptized, discipled, their needs, what was going on, prayer requests. 30 years. Often they send them every single month, if not every quarter, for 30 years. The missionary said, after 30 years of sending the letters back to the States, he said, only once one church ever responded faithfully to our letters. 30 years. Here's what God's doing. Here's the need. Here's how you can pray. one church to faithfully respond, even just to say, hey, brother, we got it. We're praying for you. We see your need. Praise God for those decisions. Continue on. Continue serving the Lord. You want to be an encouragement this week? Find someone who's in service. Go up to them and say, hey, God sees what you're doing. Keep it up. Lastly, we want to encourage those who are in need, in despair, in service. And lastly, we want to encourage those in sin. Encourage someone who's away from the Lord to return to Him. I want you to think of someone maybe that you know who has broken fellowship and are out of fellowship with the Lord, and seek to restore them. Fast forward in the ministry of Barnabas, he pops up again in Acts chapter 15, verse 36. By this time, Paul and Barnabas are missionary partners. They have planted a number of churches. They've seen a lot. They've done a lot. They've experienced a lot. And they get to a point where the Apostle Paul wants to go and check on all the churches that they've planted. And Barnabas and Paul, Barnabas the encourager, gets in a disagreement with the Apostle Paul. In verse 36, and says, some days after Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. Verse 37. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. Verse 39. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder from one another. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus. Paul says, let's go back and check on how everybody's doing in all the cities where we preach the word. Barnabas says, that's a great idea. Let's bring John Mark with us. And Paul says, who? You didn't say John Mark, did you? You remember what John Mark did to us last time when we were on the missionary journey? John Mark ran away. He went home. He left us. He deserted us, Barnabas. I'm not taking John Mark. And the contention was so sharp, they begin to argue amongst themselves. And finally, Barnabas says, fine, I'll take John Mark, and we're going this way. And Paul says, fine, I'm taking Silas, and we're going this way. And they split over it. Think, man, that's not very encouraging, right? Now, who was right and who was wrong? That's pretty debated. I will say that it figures, of all people, Barnabas was the one who wanted to give John Mark another chance. Was Barnabas being too lenient? I mean, John Mark left, went back home, said, hey, I just can't do it. Or was Paul being too harsh? Some would say that this worked out for the better because now there's two missionary teams. Now, whether who was right, who was wrong, we can't be sure. But one thing that we are sure about, John Mark was wrong. He was in sin. He left them. He deserted them in a time of need. After he committed to come, then he went back. John Mark was wrong. Now, let me be clear about something, because Barnabas wanted to restore John Mark. Barnabas wanted to restore him. But you have to understand, there's a difference between encouragement and flattery. Encouragement is not simply affirmation. If you affirm someone in their sin, that's not encouragement. As a matter of fact, if you affirm someone in their sin, it's not encouragement, and it's most definitely not loving to that person. To affirm someone's sin is actually about the most hateful thing that you could do to a person. Encouragement tells the truth. True encouragement tells the truth. You know, years back when I was only saved for a few years and I hadn't really shared the gospel as much as I should have. I was a senior in high school and I went out door knocking with Brother Jared Bevern, who's assistant pastor at Lighthouse Chillicothe. And he was leading the way. I mean, he was like the Bible college graduate and I was just like me. So we're going around door knocking, inviting people to church, sharing the gospel. And then we get to one house, or one apartment, I should say. And he says, okay, you do this one. And I was like, nope. Okay. And he was like, now what I'll do is I'll invite them to church and then you come in and you share the gospel with them. I was like, but that's the hard part. Can I do the other one? And he was like, no, you got this. I was like, okay, all right. I got this. I'm ready. So she opens the door. This lady, very nice, very receptive. We invite her to church. And then Jared kind of stops talking, which means it's my turn to start talking. And so I started sharing the gospel with her. And what I shared with her, or the way I shared the gospel with her, was by an illustration called the White Robe Parable. Now, how many of you have ever heard of the White Robe Parable before? It's just a tool people use to share the gospel. Now, again, I was kind of a younger Christian. I think I'd only read through my Bible one time at that point. And so I heard different people use this illustration. I assumed that it was in the Bible. So I said to this woman, in the Bible, it says that when we're born, we get a white robe and there's an angel who comes when we sin and he makes a mark. And I went through the whole illustration. And I was like, and that's in the Bible. And then after we're done, this woman, praise God, makes a profession of faith in Christ and makes a decision to receive the Lord. And I walk away and I'm like feeling on cloud nine. I just led this lady to Christ. And then Jared says, hey, that was awesome, man. But you know that's not in the Bible, right? And I was like, what? And he was like, yeah, that's just an illustration that we use. That's not in the Bible. And I'm like, I just lied to that lady? And he was like, yeah, you lied to her. And I was like, oh, man. And I was like, well, I guess the Lord uses my failures to anyways. But I thought, oh, and listen, encouragement. He could have said, oh, yeah, great job. And then the next house, I'd have been like, yo, in the Bible, it says encouragement tells the truth. You ever see that meme with the dog sitting in the room and the room's completely on fire and then it says, this is fine, everything's fine? That's not encouragement. Encouragement doesn't come along someone sitting in the fire and say, hey, you're just keep it up, man, you're doing great. No, encouragement tells the truth. And in the realest sense, an encourager is not someone who just says positive things and never exposes or highlights sin, but rather the opposite. We think an encourager is someone who always tells us what we want to hear. That's not a biblical encourager. Look, we are sinners, fallen, and in need of grace. And often, we just want to hear what makes us feel better. But sometimes the encouragement that we need is not the encouragement that we want. Encouragement builds people up in the Lord. It doesn't puff them up. Encouragement directs toward obedience. True encouragement points people to Christ and to God. You can't tell me that you're going to encourage somebody by encouraging them to live a life disobedient to the Word of God. It doesn't happen. You can't encourage someone like that. Romans 5:4 says this, 15 verse 4, it says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. When we encourage someone, we don't do it best by flattering them, but by reminding them of the promises of God. We're pointing them to the Lord. Encouragement from God for the people of God comes from the Word of God. You can't encourage someone by telling them to be disobedient to Christ. True biblical encouragement can always be traced back to the Word of God. So, do you know someone in sin? maybe the most encouraging thing you could ever do is to confront them about that sin. You say, well, I don't want to discourage them. You can't truly be encouraged and be out of the will of God. So point them back to Christ. Here's the thing about Barnabas. He didn't just view people for what they were, but what they could be. That's what an encourager does. So did it work? Barnabas takes John Mark and he goes with him. Was John Mark restored? Yeah. Well, how do you know that, Pastor Nathan? Well, because there's a gospel in our New Testament named Mark, written by that John Mark, the one that tucked tail and ran home, encouraged in the Lord, restored by a faithful brother in Christ, and became the author of the first ever gospel about Jesus. But that's not it. Because Paul was pretty hot mad about Barnabas wanting to take John Mark along. But he didn't stay that way. In 2 Timothy 4, verse 9, this is at the end of Paul's life. He's writing his final letter. He would be beheaded not much later after this. He is, in a way, discouraged. And he writes to Timothy by saying, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. Verse 10. You can see the discouragement in this. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. Cretans to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Verse 11. Only Luke is with me. Everyone else is gone. And then notice what he says. Take Mark and bring him with thee. Why? For he is profitable to me for the ministry. Amen. At the end of his life, Paul says, please bring John Mark with you because he is good for me. Thank God for the ministry of encouragement. Do you know someone who needs encouragement? Someone in need? Someone in despair? Someone in service, or someone in sin. Be faithful this week to be a Barnabas, to be an encourager. Would you stand with me this morning? As you stand, if you would bow for just a moment.